America will not be held hostage to nuclear blackmail. We will not allow American cities to be threatened with destruction. And we will not allow a regime that chants death to America to gain access to the most deadly weapons on Earth. Today's action sends a critical message. The United States no longer makes empty threats. When I make promises, I keep them.
That's the president today announcing he's withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, something that he had said he was going to do. But it was interesting. There was a little bit of a carrot that came out after the stick. David Axelrod is with us. You know him from the X-Files. You know him from CNN. You know him from, well, I don't know. You've seen his face on TV, either representing or trying to run out of a room if things are not going so well in local and national and international political scenarios.
I've run from many, many rooms.
Who has not? Yes. I have too.
Very wise.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes it's better
when to run.
Yeah. As Warren Buffett once said, the smartest guys know when to run away. All right. So
I thought that was Kenny Rogers.
Both. But I think he got it from Warren Buffett. Uh-huh. All right. So there's no situation too big to run away from, he said.
Got to know when to hold him and
right.
when to fold him.
Yeah. All right. Now, where were we? Okay. Iran. The nuclear deal. So he walks away from the nuclear deal. When you hear that particular summation as he just gave it, I think there's a lot of people. His base obviously is going to go along with him, but I think there are a lot of moderates and people go, well, yeah, no, they have been screaming death to America,
right?
And
it's good reason to keep them from getting nuclear weapons,
right? Exactly.
And they were months away from having a nuclear weapon before this agreement took place,
and you were there in the middle of all of that.
97% of their uranium was shipped out of the country. They mothballed their one of their major reactors. They 13,000 other implements needed for production were destroyed, and they have the most intrusive inspections that we've seen in the history of these WMD inspections. All of that is threatened to go away now. So the question is, what is the alternative plan?
So I want
to. Boris Johnson, the foreign minister of Britain, said there is no plan B.
That's your answer. There is no plan B. But back to their plan A, which was this: if they were there was a piece of misinformation out about this that I think was particularly devastating, and I'm not proud. We brought it up here, but I'm not very proud of sort of along the national media spectrum of pounding away at this. There was this whole idea that within 7 to 9 years, they could, or 7 years from now, 9 years from the beginning of the deal, they could have started to enrich uranium. And everybody went, oh, well, they could build a bomb. They can't. The amount of uranium they were allowed to enrich starting 9 years from now is 1/100th the amount that you would need to build a single low-powered nuclear device,
right.
Let alone, and it was all for nuclear reactors for electricity.
Right.
That and it was verifiable, and it was in the deal that they were forever forbidden from building and enriching uranium for a nuclear weapon.
Right.
But that was people weren't pounding on that.
Listen, I first of all, I'm not Pollyannish about the Iranians. That they are a malign force in the in the Middle East, and they are exporters of terrorism, and they do support Hezbollah, and they have been propping up Assad, and all of that is true. That's not really the issue. The issue is, given all that, aren't we better off with them not having the ability to produce a bomb than having the ability to produce a bomb? And the United States breaking this agreement, which is what the president did today, gives them a green light if they want to.
Will they?
I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. They say they will. And we'll find out if the inspectors are ejected from the country. If that would be a bad sign. They do. A lot depends on how the Europeans behave, and the Europeans say they're going to stick to the agreement. So Iran will have to make a decision. But there's a lot of risk associated. I will say this. I don't think the president's motivation was that. I don't think he's thought about all the vagaries of national security strategy here. He made a promise during the election, and this is good for the base, plays well with the base. I think he's worried now not about what happens 10 years from now, but what happens in November. He's being told that he has a laggard base, and he's trying to do things to torque them up. And, you know, since the first of the year, it seems to me he's been sort of Trump unchained in the sense that he seems to be charting his own course here. Secretary Mattis said he thought it was in the interest of the U.S. to stay in the agreement. All of his intelligence people contradicted what he said today and said that Iran has lived by the terms of the agreement. So I think that he is doing this as a political matter, and the target was not the Middle East, it was the Middle West and other regions of the U.S.
But it has other implications. You have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on the way to North Korea. You have a deal trying to be struck there, U.S. prisoners being released, other things going on in the world.
Potentially, the hopes that that happens.
Yeah. And you wonder if this is telegraphing to North Korea, well, you're backing out of this agreement here, or you're exiting it. And I know it wasn't this president, but it's still the U.S.
Yeah. Well,
who's to say we come to an agreement with
Absolutely.
You now?
Listen, isn't that, it is a complete violation of norms, which is something that Trump does often, to pull out of an agreement in this way. And it does send a negative signal, not just to North Korea, but to anyone else who strikes a deal with the U.S. It raises the question as to whether the U.S. will keep that agreement. And I will say this. You know, if you look at the history of Donald Trump and his career, he made a business model out of breaking agreements and contracts and understandings. So this is the way he's operated all his life. He's just never operated at this level of gravity, and I'm not sure he appreciates the level of gravity that he's operating at right now.
He may have broken down a dam here that he didn't like, and he certainly made he made it a really, really important campaign tool for himself. This is the worst deal ever because of the money that was returned and the cash and all that, which was their money in the first place that we'd been holding since the revolution in 1979. But beyond that, they want it in cash. However that worked, the optics of it were bad. Mm-hmm. So the president played on that, certainly. The issue is now China. China stopped buying oil from Iran.
Right.
Oil prices are spiking as a result of all of this. They've been spiking for the last month in anticipation of it. They will spike today. The question is, does China start to buy oil from Iran and build them back up? And is China really sitting back and watching all of this and seeing that America on the international stage, trade stage, is stumbling here because of its own internal
politics? Well, I don't think there's any question that we've created enormous openings for China. One of the ironies is that Donald Trump campaigned. I mean, how many times did he say China in every campaign speech? He made China.
It wasn't China, actually. But
I understand that, but on a family show.
Yeah.
And yet the things he's done have so favored China, starting with pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has created a huge void that China has stepped into. But all over the world, the withdrawal of American leadership has given opportunities to China to step in, and China's taking advantage of those opportunities. And one of my great concerns about what's going on right now is that we are ceding all of this space to China, and China is very aggressively filling it. And you know how they handle this. They were obviously involved in this Iran deal. How all this moves forward is a big question.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you to put your strategist hat on for a second, and let's look ahead to November. Do you think that Democrats are overly confident?
Well, I do think there's this assumption that this wave is coming and that Democrats will certainly take over the House. You know, I think that there a little bit of caution is due. President's approval rating has crept up a little in the last few months. I do think it's partly because he has returned completely to who he was as a candidate. calling all the shots himself, being completely impolitic, and that sent a signal to some of his core supporters that here's the guy we voted for. Now, his core supporters aren't necessarily the ones who are going to make the difference in these House elections. But, I think that there are many, many indications that would, if you were objectively looking at them, say, Republicans are in real jeopardy of losing the House, but it's not a gimme. And we are living in a dynamic political environment. So, yeah, I think Democrats ought to be vigilant. But you know, if you look at the 90 elections that have taken place since November 6th of 2008 or whatever the date was, they generally. You've seen Democrat turnout above about 13% higher than for Hillary Clinton. We've seen 37 legislative seats change hands. We saw what happened in Virginia. We saw what happened, obviously, in Pennsylvania in that special in March. There are a lot of things that would say to you, yeah, this is going to be a problem for the White House and for the Republicans. Historically, you would expect that.
David Axelrod, The Axe Files. Look for it on your where you find fine podcasts on the airwebs. And, of course, on CNN as well. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Right now, Judy Padlock tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour.